for 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next week for my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., bringing you a wide variety of topics related to health and wellness. We've been doing the show for over 3 years now, dedicated to bringing you fantastic information, and we've created a wonderful archive for you all to use as a resource. You can access any of our previously recorded shows by going to the Village Green homepage, www.myvillagegreen.com, and on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a little radio show microphone. And if you click on that, it'll bring you to the archive show section. You can download any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free and listen to them in an iPod format, or just stream them on your computer. Today, of course, we have another great show and another great guest lined up for you. We're talking about a issue that I don't think we've ever discussed on this show before, which is very, very long overdue, in my opinion. We're going to be talking about behavioral optometry, and we're going to be talking about how your eyes affect many other aspects of your health. We know when we think about our eyes, many of us think about just getting tested for standard visual tests, visual acuity. Do we have 20/20 vision? Do we have better than 20/20 vision? Worse? Do we need glasses, contacts, bifocals? Obviously, people spend a lot of time focusing on just where their vision is at. And we know that vision acuity issues can affect our overall state of health because they can contribute to things like migraines and eye strains and other problems that can affect people. However, the aspect of behavioral optometry takes it one step further and really helps us to try and understand some of the other aspects that are going on with how our eyes influence how our brain is working and how this is affecting our ability to function on a day-to-day basis in many different ways. So before we start, I just want to make a couple quick announcements. Don't forget, everybody, that now until December 31st, Village Green is running their big end-of-the-year sale. They're going to be offering huge discounts on Pathway products, as well as huge discounts on all of the other professional line brands that they distribute. So this is a great time to get into the store and stock up on your supplements. Also, the Village Green will be sponsoring an event this Monday, December 5th. That'll be tomorrow night, December 5th, and it is Approaches for Anxiety, Moodiness, and Depression, Non-Medications, and Understanding Biochemical Imbalances. This is going to be presented by Albert Mensa and Judith Bowen, both medical doctors who have founded the Mensa Medical Center in Chicago. They have several outlet clinics around the country, and they have been specializing for years using non-medication-based approaches for first-line treatment of anxiety, fear, moodiness, and depression issues. So they're going to be discussing all of the aspects of this. I plan on being there. It's from 7 to 8:30 p.m., located at the Bethesda Green, which is on the second floor of the Capital One Bank at 4825 Cordell Avenue, Suite 200. It is free. If you would like to go ahead and secure a spot, you can call the Village Green at 301-530-0800, or you can just stop into the store to reserve your spot. I think it's going to be a wealth of information, and there are such great non-medication-based approaches to dealing with these issues. And I know from my time practicing, so many people deal with anxiety and depression issues. We've addressed it on the show many times before. This is a wonderful local resource. So without further ado, I'd like to get to our main topic. Dr. Sanford Cohen is a developmental or behavioral optometrist practicing primary care optometry in the Silver Spring area. He provides routine and preventative vision care, vision rehabilitation, and vision therapy. His patients include children and adults with learning-related vision problems, attention deficit disorders, reading problems, pervasive developmental disorders, autism spectrum, strabismus, amblyopia, binocular disorders, traumatic brain injury, stroke, and low vision resulting from macular degeneration and many other eye diseases. He practices preventative and rehabilitative vision care utilizing lenses, prisms, vision training, and interdisciplinary referrals. You can reach him or his associates, Dr. Eli and Cohen Optometry. They're located in Silver Spring, Maryland, and the website is www.optometrist.org/Eli Cohen, E-L-Y-C-O-H-E-N, and you can learn more about him there. Dr. Cohen, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Passero.
So, you know, I've sort of introduced it a little bit. I'm just going to read a brief definition of behavioral optometry for the audience, and I'd love for you to elaborate. It's sort of loosely defined as an expanded area of optometric practice that uses a holistic approach for the treatment of vision and vision information processing problems. So that's an interesting sort of one-line definition. Can you just help our listeners understand a little bit more what this concept of behavioral optometry is and how it applies to people's overall health?
Yes, the optometrists take a look at the visual system of their patients, and in many cases simply provide refractions and advice about contact lens care, and resolve some eye health issues. So that's the general approach. Now, a more expanded approach is going to say, well, how is this person's visual system affecting their ability to understand what they're seeing, and how is their general health affecting their ability to understand what they're seeing, and can we, in effect, help them to use their vision with less effort and less energy to accomplish the task that they want to accomplish. So in a big sense, we're looking at just a very larger way of looking at how the eyes integrate with the whole body and how it affects a person's thinking and their health and their production.
Okay. So give us some examples about, you know, where this would come into play. I mean, what kind of things might people be noticing on a day-to-day basis? I mean, I was talking to you before we started the show, and as I started to learn more a little bit about behavioral optometry and some of the things that it works with, I started to kind of realize that some of the patterns that could be treated by this, you know, I display some of the ways that I interpret the things that I read or some of my abilities to focus on the written word. And as I've gotten older and you know, things have progressed, I have found it a lot easier sometimes to listen to things, and some of my critical reading skills when I'm really trying to digest really complex information can get difficult because I might skip over words. I might find it difficult to really focus on exactly what the words are, but hearing it seems easier. So, I mean, for me, that was an example of perhaps I could use some vision therapy or some better ways to help what I'm seeing communicate to my brain. Can you talk a little bit about that and about some other issues that come up?
Well, certainly. Let's start with adults, and we'll work our way down to kids. In adults, it becomes a matter of asking the right questions in the history. You know, it's simply not the same as saying, you know, do you see clearly, but, you know, how is your comprehension when you're reading? Are you getting as much out of it as you wish to? Are you reading as much as you want to? How's your vision after you read? And through questioning, I think with adults, we begin to understand that maybe there are some limitations in how they're using their visual system effectively. And then the next part is to take the appropriate measurements, which is sort of unique to what I think behavioral optometrists do, because we spend a lot of time evaluating vision function for the specific distances that the person is engaged in. So, for example, if you are an attorney or someone who does a lot of computer work, it's going to be important that we, the practitioners, spend time evaluating your eyes while you're doing tasks similar to what you would do at work and at the distance that you would be operating at work. So a lot of my testing, obviously, will then center around near vision function. And near visual tests that we've derived over the many decades yields very important information about how much effort a person is putting into processing and understanding what they're seeing. So as you alluded to earlier, 20/20 acuity doesn't really explain or tell us how much we're getting from what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we take what we're seeing and integrating it with our past knowledge and information that will allow us to be more efficient processors or understanders of what we're seeing. So that if a person has to put a lot of effort into processing information, they're going to fatigue quickly, they're going to probably begin to misinterpret what they're reading, and ultimately really want to sort of like get away from it. And most commonly, that's what happens to us over time. A lot of practitioners will refer to this as, you know, undue visual stress. And visual stress is one way that behavioral optometrists will term that your eyes are working inefficiently, that you're expending too much effort to understand what you're seeing, and it places a great deal of stress on your eyes and on your body. Likewise, a person who has poor health or too much stresses in their life, that can also work the other way and diminish and make inefficient one's ability to process visual information. So general stress can lead to visual stress, and visual stress can lead to general stress.
Yeah, that was one of the questions that I was, you know, that we had talked about discussing is, you know, what factors might cause someone to end up with sort of functional vision issues. And, you know, some of my questions, I know on the website, some of the stuff you do is with TBI, traumatic brain injury. You know, I've had a few head injuries in my day, and I was starting to think, well, maybe perhaps some of the head injuries I've had contribute to some of the issues that I think I might be having with, you know, my visual perception and visual, you know, my functional visual
right.
capabilities. So what are some of the things that, that predispose somebody to start developing these issues?
Well, you mentioned one, you know, traumas in general can cause, let's say, poor functioning of the visual system. Emotional stress, you mentioned in your ad for the Monday night's presentation, anxiety and depression, those impact one's ability to use their visual system properly. But even things like the stress of work, that can impose problems on your ability to get things done. If you have time constraints, unless you have a highly flexible visual system, that puts a lot of stress on your ability to get through visual activities. But it could also be the fact that if you are called upon to do a lot of visual activity day in and day out, and you adapt to it by trying to eliminate peripheral distractions, for example, or you adapt to getting your work done by not going outside and giving enough time outdoors and giving your eyes a break from the activity, this is another way to cause vision problems. And so it could even be nutritionally related as another cause. If you have significant nutritional deficits, that's going to predispose you to a poor functioning visual system as well. So there are many factors that influence it. And so, you know, it just depends on the individual.
Sure.
And oftentimes there are multiple factors. If someone is fighting a disease and they don't even know it, like let's say a Lyme disease, that can manifest as a very significant vision problem. And obviously, if I've identified that, I'm going to have the Lyme disease treated first.
Sure.
And many times the vision problem may actually minimize or go away.
As the stress relieves from the body. So
right.
When we come back from the break, I'd love to spend some time talking about how these visual issues apply specifically to children. Because clearly, you know, from introducing your bio, a lot of the work that you do is with kids with attention deficit issues, dyslexia, reading problems, autism spectrum. And I mean, these are obviously huge issues today, given the rates of ADD and autism and some of the lack of good treatments that are available for these children, especially non-pharmaceutical-based therapies.
Right.
So I'd love to discuss that with you. Don't go anywhere, everybody. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's ArniCare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. ArniCare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. ArniCare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find ArniCare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit ArniCare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Old Man Winter is on the way, but you can weather the storm by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's big year-end sale. Now through the end of the year, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Stock up on supplements to fight colds and flu, and pick up some healthy living gifts for your friends and family, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or online at myvillagegreen.com, or call us at 301-530-0800. Our big year-end sale will blow you away.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next Sunday when my wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be bringing you another great show related to health and wellness. Today we've been talking to Dr. Sanford Cohen and the work that he does relating to behavioral optometry, some very interesting and exciting work. In the last segment, we were discussing some of the basic concepts of behavioral optometry and how it affects some aspects of overall health. In this segment, we're going to be specifically discussing behavioral optometry and its issues related to children and some of the common conditions of ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, childhood headaches, reading and tracking problems, developmentally delayed issues in children. So a really interesting and exciting topic. Before we get into that, I just have a couple quick announcements. Don't forget, everybody, that the Village Green is having their big annual sale from now until the end of December. Huge discounts on all products in the store, so don't forget to stop in. It's a great time to stock up on your products. Also, just wanted to make a quick mention of a free presentation that's being sponsored by the Village Green coming up on Monday night, December 5th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Bethesda Green, which is on the second floor of the Capital One Bank on Cordell Avenue. It's about approaches for anxiety, moodiness, and depression, non-medication, and understanding biochemical imbalances, presented by Dr. Albert Mensah and Dr. Judith Bowman, who are both medical doctors specializing specializing in the non-pharmaceutical approach to dealing with anxiety, moodiness, and depression issues. So if you are interested in coming to that, you can call the Village Green at 301-530-0800 or just stop in the store to sign up. I will certainly be there and am looking forward to it. Dr. Cohen is a developmental or behavioral optometrist practicing primary care optometry in the Silver Spring area. If you want to learn more about his practice and what he does, go to www.optometrist.org/Eli Cohen, E-L-Y-C-O-H-E-N. He's got a wonderful website with lots of great information about the work he does. So, Dr. Cohen, thank you again for being on the show with us today. I'd love to take a few minutes this segment to talk about how the work you do with behavioral optometry relates specifically to kids and some of these really common issues that we're seeing in kids these days.
Well, the good thing about behavioral optometry for me is it gives me a really good framework from which I can take a look at how kids are in terms of how they're developing. Your visual system requires quite a bit of time to develop. We're not born with good vision at all. Infants see pretty poorly, and it takes literally four months before they can see the adult 20/20 acuity analog. It takes them 2.5 to 3 years to coordinate their focusing mechanism with their eyes. Take 7.5 to 8 years to develop adult-like eye movements. And during all of this time, the kids are constantly moving through space, and they're going from not even being able to sit up and hold their head up to sitting and rolling, crawling, then creeping. All of these different aspects of development are critical to having the eyes develop properly as well. So you can see that if a child misses stages of development, that's going to affect the overall development of their visual system. And certainly if they get off to a poor start due to premature birth or due to a trauma during birth, then that's going to set back their vision development as well. And then certain kinds of illnesses during development and certain types of genetic problems and environmentally induced problems can also impact their vision development. So that's the framework that I look at kids at when I'm evaluating them and trying to understand how their vision's developed. The key part of it for me is also understanding that things like primitive reflexes, movement through space, integrating the eye, hand, and body as we move through space, and also integrating all the senses with the visual system. That's a key component of development and allows me ways of measuring in my evaluation how a child's vision has developed up to that point in time. So, for example, I may look at a child who's having school problems, and the teacher and or their physician may want to label them as having an attention problem. So I'm going to want to carefully look at eye movements as one indicator of how good they are at focusing attention. When you have eye movement difficulties, that can sometimes lead to a misdiagnosis of attention deficit. And then when you see, well, this child has poor eye movements, because I can test that very easily, what's causing that? And very frequently I have found that it's actually more basic problems in the integration of the eyes with the balance mechanism, or it could be that they have primitive reflexes that have not been totally suppressed or eliminated. So those are all ways I look at vision in my examination to come to some type of conclusion as to how I can intervene and help, or do I need to refer them to the appropriate specialist to deal with something a lot better than I can deal with it.
Hmm. Yeah, from what I understand about it, we're all born with these primitive reflexes, and as we develop certain things and, let's say, develop the skill to roll or develop other skills as we age, we get to override those primitive reflexes.
Right.
And overriding those primitive reflexes is dependent on very specific developmental milestones that we meet as babies and infants. And as you said, if certain children don't meet those milestones or skip developmental steps, they may not override those primitive reflexes, and that may affect aspects of their vision and how they process things visually. Is that
That's exactly right. I mean, one in particular is the asymmetric tonic neck reflex, which is important early on in a child's life and should be gone before they become one. And very oftentimes...
Can you just describe that reflex?
Yes.
When you turn the head, the same arm, to turn your head to the right side, the right arm goes out. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's the unguard reflex. So the opposite side, the arm will flex, and the same side arm will actually straighten out along with the same side leg. So if I turn my head to the right, my right arm and right leg will extend, and my left arm and left leg will bend or flex.
Okay.
And so if that has not been, let's say, overridden, then what will happen is every time a child turns their head to the right, they're going to get some extension of that side and flexing of the opposite side. Well, that makes it really difficult when you put a child in a riding posture, because typically they're turning their head a little bit to the side. It's going to cause some fine motor problems, just as an example. When I see, again, in my testing, if I start to see, gee, they're having trouble where they shouldn't, then I'll go back and do a couple of tests of their primitive reflexes.
Okay,
and then
sometimes you'll find that they're still present.
Yes, and then the important part is, what can you do to help them through it? You can override these later in life through practice. And I usually either prescribe methods myself. More commonly, I send kids to a specialist for that.
Gotcha. Who would help them develop skills that will override the primitive reflexes.
Right. And taking it one step further, you know, if the main reason that child came to me was because of attention problems and I determined that they have eye movement problems that are more related to basic motor problems or reflex problems, I may not even elect to treat them at that point. What I may elect to do is send them to the specialist and then reassess things in 3, 6, or 9 months, at which time they may or may not need optometric intervention in the form of lenses, prisms, or therapy.
Okay. And so beyond even the attention issue, I mean, one thing that we were talking about on the break about with kids is headaches. And a lot of kids do complain of headaches. And typically, you know, parents will bring them into an optometrist and they'll say, we got their eyes checked and their vision was okay, but it may not address the headache issue. So what kind of things do you see that come up in your evaluations with behavioral optometry that might affect headache presentation in a child?
Yeah, a really good question. Well, a couple of things. One would be related to binocular vision. That is, how easily can a person or this child keep using their two eyes together in order to sustain single clear vision? Headaches come about both in children and adults when they have to expend extra effort to sustain single clear vision. And so in the optometric testing, there are several different ways that we test for that. And if the child shows an inadequacy or a weakness there, and the headaches that they're describing are related to visual tasks, then it's a pretty easy relationship to draw between the lack of good binocular vision and the headaches. And that's one example.
And then there are tools that you can do in regards to exercises and vision therapy that can improve the way the eyes work together. Is that?
Well, that could be one method. Sometimes it's just a focusing problem and they have inadequate ability to focus their eyes at near. So a simpler solution is just, let's say, near vision or stress relieving lenses. In other instances, they may have a significant binocular problem. One of the more common terms people will hear is convergent insufficiency. And if they have inadequate convergence to meet visual demands, eyeglasses probably are not enough to help them. And they may, in fact, need more formalized therapy in the form of optometric vision training or optometric vision therapy.
Okay. All right. When we come back from the break, we're going to be picking up this conversation with Dr. Cohen, and we're going to talk about some other conditions that really are very amenable to being addressed with behavioral optometry and being assessed with behavioral optometry, as well as walking through and giving some examples of what some of these visual therapy exercises might look like. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, and we are going to be back right after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Put a little more jingle in your pocket by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's big year-end sale. From now until the end of the year, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Give the gift of good health to the people you care about and stock up on healthy living essentials for yourself, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or on the web at myvillagegreen.com. Or just give us a jingle at 301-530-0800.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., bringing you a wide variety of topics related to health and wellness. I am Dr. Kevin Passero, your host for this week. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning next week with another great show lined up for you. Today, we've been talking about behavioral optometry, and we've been discussing some of the different approaches to looking at how your vision might be affecting your overall health. I think from my experience, it's a relatively little known field of study, but seems to be incredibly beneficial for many things. In the last segment, we were discussing some of its specific application to issues around ADD, ADHD, and other developmental delays in children. And it's just such a great thing to incorporate when looking at these issues, because we are really starting to understand that the traditional prescriptive approach to dealing with ADD can potentially have some really negative long-term impacts. In fact, we don't even really know what the long-term implications are of giving children stimulant medication at a time when the brains are so susceptible to development, and how they're actually forming their synapses and developing as a person and as a whole. So anytime we can use non-prescriptive approaches in children to deal with attention issues, it is always a huge advantage. And incorporating vision therapy, as Dr. Cohen has explained, seems to often be a wonderful tool to help children with certain types of ADD and ADHD improve their ability to focus. So in this segment, we're going to be touching on some other issues and some other conditions that Dr. Cohen commonly deals with, and some other things that vision therapy and some of the other work that he does really improves people's quality of life. Before we get into that, I just want to make a couple quick announcements. I know you're probably sick of hearing these announcements, but just want to mention them in case you're tuning in. The Village Green is running its end of the year sale until December 31st. Huge discounts on all Pathway products, as well as all professional brand products, as well as every single product in the store. So don't forget to stop in to stock up on your supplements if you have not already. Also, there's an exciting free presentation happening tomorrow night, Monday, December 5th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Bethesda Green, which is located on the second floor of the Capital One Bank. It is entitled Approaches for Anxiety, Moodiness, and Depression, Non-Medications, and Understanding Biochemical Imbalances. It's being presented by Dr. Albert Mensa and Dr. Judith Bowman, two medical doctors who have been working with non-pharmaceutical approaches to dealing with anxiety, fear, moodiness, and depression issues for many, many years. So it's going to be a great presentation. I will certainly be there. If you're interested in attending, call the Village Green at 301-530-0800 to reserve your spot. Dr. Cohen is a developmental and behavioral optometrist practicing primary care optometry in the Silver Spring area. If you want to learn more about his practice, you can go to www.optometrist.org/Eli Cohen, E-L-Y-C-O-H-E-N. Dr. Cohen, thanks again for being with us on the show today.
No problem at all, Mr. Kef.
So let's talk about some of these other issues that you see a lot in your practice that you find good success in working with that, you know, might get missed if somebody was just doing straight optometry. And you talked about myopia with me in the break. So maybe you can describe what myopia is, you know, why you think you're seeing so much of it, and some of the things that you find valuable in your practice for helping people prevent or deal with myopia issues.
Yeah, myopia is when we do not see clearly far away, primarily due to the fact that light tends to image in front of the retina. I'm seeing a much greater prevalence of this, and it's not just me, it's really worldwide. In Asia, the prevalence of myopia is over 90% in children. I'm seeing children who are developing myopia at younger and younger ages now. It used to be we would tend to see it when they were in the latter part of the first grade, maybe the second grade, so that's age 6 and 7, or 8. Now I'm seeing it as early as 4 years of age. My belief is one of the factors is due to the lack of outdoor play and the relative increase utilization of devices like computers, smartphones, handheld computer games, television. And because children are spending, I believe, more time doing those tasks than they are outdoors, their eyes do not get the opportunity to focus at distances. And when they don't have a chance to focus at distances and, in fact, are dealing with near-center tasks that they do, you know, for many, perhaps, hours, the eyes lose the ability to refocus at distance. And so part of the adaptation that creates myopia is that the eyes lose the ability to refocus at distance. And so my approach to myopia is number one, my testing allows me to determine that a person is on the road to developing myopia way before they may present with blurry vision far away. So I'm going to be very proactive and very preventative in my recommendations to my patients. And very briefly, I go over what I call visual hygiene recommendations, which include the proper distance to hold things from their eyes.
Which is
defined roughly as the distance from your elbow to your middle knuckle. So if you're a six-year-old, that's maybe going to be 8 or 9 inches. If you're an adult, it could be 16 inches. That's the minimum distance that a person wants to operate for reading and writing and near-center tasks.
So if you are at your office and you're trying to set up your desk to be somewhat ergonomic in ways, one of the things that you want to take into consideration is how far your screen is from your eyes. Is that correct?
Right. In the case of a computer, it's much more complicated than that. Excuse me. Because there's a mixture of computer types. We have desktops and we have laptops. The majority of people in offices are using laptops. I mean, not desktops, rather. And as such, the screens tend to be straight ahead or somewhat in the neighborhood of 15 degrees below straight ahead. That's significantly more stressful on the eyes as well as the body than paperwork or books would be, which are placed further below eye level. So the distance of the Harman distance, I define that as the distance from the elbow to the middle knuckle, that's more appropriate for reading and writing and desk work. But for computer work, I believe it's much better to operate at a longer distance, more like 22, 23, 24 inches. And really, when I get into this with adults, the whole topic of computers gets into what's the best type of lens to use for a computer and what's the correct prescription. Since we've decided you brought in computers, let me elaborate. For most adults, and I mean people over 40, what's ideal for reading and coursework as a prescription is not necessarily ideal for 23, 24, and 25 inches. For example, single-vision reading glasses may be too strong if they're used at 16 inches, and they may be too strong for 23, 24, 25 inches. So the best way to prescribe computer glasses is to know the distance a person is using and prescribe the lenses by measuring at that distance. Secondly, a lot of people think that bifocals or progressive lenses are perfect solutions to computer use, and nothing could be further from the truth. You don't want anyone to be using a progressive or a bifocal to look at a computer screen unless the part of the lens that they are looking at is based upon that distance that they're looking at. So, for example, a standard bifocal or progressive lens, that's a bifocal without a line, are geared towards far vision through the top and reading through the bottom. The computer distance is sort of lost in there. It's either somewhere in the progressive, but it's in a very small area, or it doesn't exist. So a lot of people work with the wrong prescription when they're operating with their computer. So I spend a lot of time with every adult talking about computer use. Likewise with kids, their systems are a little bit more flexible, but we still have to deal with the proper distance to work at the computer as well.
So I mentioned to you, I've mentioned a couple times now, some of the things that I think are going on with my eyes and how they might relate. But what are like the top concerns? You have an adult that comes in, they're referred to you, they've heard about you, they come into the office. What kind of things are they actually discussing or complaining about or reporting to you that they're hoping to get some resolution with, or that you really feel that through vision therapy or some of the work that you do, you're going to be able to get them some relief?
Well, let me give you an example. All right. I think headaches is one of the things that I hear a lot of. I may have adults who come in with vague to very specific headache complaints, and coupled with some type of musculoskeletal ailment, for example, neck and shoulder discomfort. And they may, in fact, express to me that, you know, they've been to their physical therapist who's treated them and gotten a lot of relief, but they're still having some problems. Now, I take a look at the lenses and glasses that they're wearing. I talk to them about their occupation. I talk to them about how they use their eyes in non-occupational purposes, like certain hobbies. And I begin to get a picture of what's going on with their vision. So their complaints could then become a little more than that. They could be, you know, I used to read for pleasure. I don't read for pleasure anymore. I find that I have more frustration associated with close work, so I just give it up. I'm just not interested in doing it. Work is a lot of computer operation, and I can't wait to get out of there. And I'm looking for any break I can get from the action. My far vision's blurry towards the end of the day because I do a lot of, well, they don't realize it, but it's because they're doing a lot of desk work. So we take a look at this whole picture, and by my evaluation, I'll easily know, well, gee, does this person have a binocular problem, that is, trouble maintaining integration of the right with the left eye? Invariably, the answer is yes. And so that's usually where I take a look at, okay, can I improve this situation with lenses? Eyeglasses, lenses is what I mean. Or do they need a combination of vision therapy and a change in their lenses? If it's the example of a person who's trying to use a progressive lens where the distance is in the top and the reading's in the bottom, are they trying to use this for computer use? Then I'll explain to them that that's inappropriate. We have to change your lenses so you have one for the computer, perhaps one for distance only. And then we'll then work with them in vision therapy to improve their visual efficiency and how they're integrating their eyes with each other.
And invariably, people feel much better, I'm imagining.
Well, they do because they, A, are utilizing the right glasses at work. B, I'm coaching them on how to give their eyes the best chance to succeed. And then finally, if they follow through with therapy, and really not everybody does follow through in therapy, I'll tell you that, because it requires putting aside time most every day to practice specific procedures in order to use your vision better and better. But when they do follow through with that, people get significant changes, and they, in fact, become much more aware of their world. They become more aware of their actions. Their thinking is clearer.
Yeah, I would imagine it leads to better comprehension, better productivity, less
more energy.
Comfort, more energy. Yeah,
So it's contingent on the effort you put into it.
Well, just like anything else in life, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Okay, so we're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing a few nutritional factors that are really important for the eye. We're also going to be finishing up some aspects of the conversation around myopia and wrapping up any other things around this exciting topic of behavioral optometry. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, and we're going to be back right after this break.
The moment you feel achy or run down, nip flu-like symptoms in the bud with Boron's Acylococcinum. Clinical studies show that Acylo, when taken at first signs of flu, reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms such as headache, body aches, chills, and fever. For 65 years, families throughout the world have relied on Acylo. It works safely and naturally without causing side effects like drowsiness or interacting with other medications. Keep Acylo on hand and feel like yourself again. Acylo is available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Acylo on the web at acylo.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is Hot Plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. We are here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so remember to set your dials and set your alarms to tune in every week. If you happen to miss the show airing on Sunday, you can always log on to www.myvillagegreen.com, and on the right-hand side of the homepage, there is a little microphone icon. If you click on that, it will take you to the archive show section. You can download any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free and listen to them at your leisure. I've had many, many people email me, call me, discuss with me the fact that they've learned so much about health and wellness at absolutely no charge by listening to all of our archive radio shows. Just recently, myself and my wonderful co-host Dana Lake went through our 3 years of shows and picked out our absolute favorites, our best guests, our best interviews, the most information-packed shows that you need to hear, and classified them in a staff picks favorite section. So that's a great resource if you just want to highlight and listen to those shows to learn a little bit more about cutting-edge ways to affect your health and wellness. Today we've been talking to Dr. Sanford Cohen, who is a behavioral optometrist, and discussing this concept and this idea and practice of behavioral optometry and how optometry goes so far beyond just going in to get your visual acuity checked and getting your lenses made year after year. There are so many different aspects to how your eyes work and how that influences your overall health, how it influences your muscular skeletal system, how it influences your ability to comprehend what you read, your ability to be aware of the world around you, and so many other aspects involved with quality of life. In this segment, we're going to wrap things up by talking about a few important topics. I want to discuss a little bit, we touched on in the last topic, this aspect of myopia, and Dr. Cohen was discussing aspects of how he's seeing more and more problems with myopia and some new theories he's going to discuss with us about why people are developing more myopia. Now, if anybody wants to get in touch with Dr. Cohen, you can go to www.optometrists, that's an S on the end, plural, .org/Eli Cohen, E-L-Y-C-O-H-E-N, and you can learn more about their practice and get in touch. His office number is 301-946-2550. Thanks again, Dr. Cohen, for being a guest on the show. Can we pick up here with some of these aspects around myopia?
Absolutely. I wanted to touch on some new information on myopia. Keep in mind that myopia in the behavioral optometric perspective is an adaptation to our world. And we believe, yes, it has a genetic predisposition. We also recognize that there are different types of myopias. They can occur at different points in a person's lifetime. So when I speak to you about this research, it is sort of a new area that I think all of us are learning about. Earl Smith is a researcher down in University of Houston Optometry School, and he's been working with animals, and the results of his study indicate that the process of myopia can be heavily influenced by the glasses and the contact lenses that we are wearing to help us see better when we are myopic. It has to do with the way the light is focusing in the back of the eye once we put these corrective lenses on. And what he found was that when we see clearly with our corrective lenses on, a byproduct of that is some of the light that is focusing not centrally to help us see clearly, but light that is forming an image around that area in the back of the eye can cause the eye to grow longer and therefore cause more myopia. And so what he then determined is that if we alter how that light is focusing through special lenses, and I'll get to that in a moment, we can actually control the progression of nearsightedness as it relates to the eye getting longer. this axial elongation is what it is, how it is termed, can be controlled by, again, altering how the peripheral light focuses in the back of the eye. The tools that are used for this can be tools such as bifocal contact lenses, as well as orthokeratology, which is a very special treatment, a very exciting way to improve a person's vision by using contact lenses overnight and not wearing them during the daytime. I think that's wonderful, but the value to me is that if I can help a child or an adult's myopia slow down, another tool is going to be utilizing orthokeratology or bifocal contact lenses. So I wanted to pass that on to your listeners because it's very exciting information. And there are some specialists in the area who do orthokeratology. I'm one of them. And also, I have always believed in utilizing bifocal lenses where indicated in treating myopia.
So basically what you're boiling it down to is some of the treatments and lens changes that they've been making to deal with myopia actually make it worse over time. Is that correct?
In fact, may actually be feeding the fire. Yep.
Okay.
Got it.
And so now there are some, based on that research, there are some new ways to look at it to prevent it from getting worse as you get older to deal with this, which you referred to as axial elongation.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because we know that as your eye elongates, also you become more at risk to develop some things like retinal tears, holes, and detachments.
Mm.
So if we can keep a person from getting as nearsighted as they might otherwise get, I think we're doing them a great service.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk about, in the last few minutes that we have, discuss some nutrients related to eye health and, you know, some of the most important nutrient-based things that you see or that you use in your practice when it comes to dealing with common eye issues.
Yes, well, when it comes to, let's talk about three. One would be a macular degeneration, which I see obviously not in kids, but more as in adults. And that's a big growing concern. Macular degeneration is when the central part of your retina, the macula, begins to degenerate. Well, what that really amounts to in a lot of people is that the buildup of oxidative processes is destroying the central retina there. And it can oftentimes lead to bleeds and fluid developing back there. But once it's identified early on in the process, the nutrition becomes a big part. And it's been shown and continues to be shown in studies conducted through the NIH that a complex of vitamins and minerals is very effective in slowing down any of these changes. The formula involves vitamin A in beta-carotenoid form, B-complex, C and E, zinc, copper, and I believe now zeaxanthin and lutein has been proven to be effective as well. So that's something that I think a lot of your listeners will have heard of. Secondly, another entity that that's becoming more common in my practice is dry eyes, related to insufficiency of certain glands of the eyes. And so we see this more and more and find that nutritionally, we want to remind our patients to make sure they're taking ample amounts of omega-3 essential fatty acids, as well as a good multivitamin. We've seen that can definitely affect tear quality when we see these patients for follow-up visits. And the third area, it goes back to myopia and basically is cutting back on refined sugars or refined carbohydrates. Don't want to eat a lot of overcooked proteins. Want to obviously get lots of fresh fruits and vegetables and any supplements if you're not getting a good source of foods.
Right. So, I mean, basically, those are great recommendations that have pretty really solid clinical and research as regards to these nutrients and how they affect the structures of the eye. In some of these conditions, we know omega-3s can really be helpful for dry eye conditions. And, of course, the research with the antioxidants you mentioned and macular degeneration is very clear and very well established. And really, it goes back to the nutrition concepts we talk about every week on the show. If you you eat healthy and you eat in a way that boosts your antioxidants and minimizes exposure to oxidative stress and poor quality fats and highly processed foods, your body is going to thrive because
totally.
The reality is for the last however many hundreds of thousands of years, that's what our body has designed to eat and it is what our body optimally thrives on. So, Dr. Cohen, we need to wrap up. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Again, if people want to get in touch with you, please give your office number one more time.
It's 301-946-2550.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Cohen. You have a great day.
Thank you, Dr. Passero. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another Essentials of Healthy Living radio show. This is Dr. Kevin Passero wishing you all the best of health.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.